Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Thursday, or as I like to call it. Okay, whatever. Hey, Jax, how you doing?
What do you like to call Thursday?
Like the beginning of the latter half, you know?
The beginning of the latter half, yeah.
T-B-O-T-L-H. Tibla.
Happy Tibla, everyone. I'm so glad that we've made it to the latter half of the week. It's been a journey, as it always is.
As it always is. And remember yesterday I said, like, I have so much to do today. And then by the time the day is done and all the things I do are done, I will be in the latter half of the week.
I remember that you said that because just much like last week, I haven't fallen on my head.
Turdy plans. And what does God do? I said I'd be sitting here today. My apartment would be fully furnished. Did I not say that?
Yeah.
So I had two big pieces coming from Crate and Barrel yesterday. The bed and the sofa. The sofa did not fit through my building.
What so do you do?
We're going to have to reschedule. You know, we're going to have to rejigger. They have some ideas.
Okay. I'm sure this happens all the time.
Yeah. They didn't seem overly concerned, but they were also like, we can't sit here and dilly-dally, ma'am. So we'll give you your bed, which is really what I needed.
Yeah.
So Turdy's apartment, not done.
Damn. Sometimes they have to saw the sofa.
I know. Sometimes they throw it up there with a crane. I don't think it's that. I also think if when they come back, they might be able to use a different elevator and just do it normally. Like, they were very amenable and we'll figure it out.
Ugh, I'm sorry that that happened. My day did not pan out either because I was feeling unwell, as I stated. Oh my God.
Yes, I spoke to you later in the day. She had a rosy tint to her cheeks.
I had a flush. It dawned on me later in the day that I think I had a migraine that was just presenting as more nausea than headache. But the headache then came later, and a guardian angel reached out to me from a new company.
Oh, I thought you meant like a dead person. I'm like, was it Joan Rivers coming to you in a dream?
No, it was a company that I'd used before, but I didn't know that they offered this service. And so I need to shout them out because they saved the rest of my day and thus saving today, because it's a company, I think you know it. It's called HastyMeds.com.
I do know HastyMeds.
You do know HastyMeds because they also do IV drips.
My friend Brecha started it. It's so funny. I actually spoke to her yesterday about it.
Your friend Brecha listened to The Toast and she reached out to me and she said I had worked with them for IVs, because you know I love an IV. And she said, we also have a company called Hasty Meds where we get you prescriptions. We just have to like do a phone consultation and I explain like everything. And these are prescriptions that I have been prescribed before. Mm-hmm. And I got a refill of Zofran, as stated, and my Rizatriptan last night. So I was able to take both things before bed, thus making me right as rain for today. And so I didn't even know how badly I needed this service in my life. HastyMeds.com, you guys.
You guys. And this is why when you guys ask Jax, Turdy, like, why are you guys always complaining on The Toast? Like, it seems like all you guys do is complain. This is why, because solutions find their way to us. And I'm sorry, yes, we are abusing our platform, but you would do it too for a check, okay? No,
and I'm sharing the knowledge and the resources that I found. This is good for everyone.
Isn't that the best when you just like kind of discover something and then you have this platform with millions of people that you could literally just like share it with? It's really kind of healing.
Yeah, especially because I don't have my prescriptions until last night. Like, I don't have them in order. I feel like people do a lot of different prescription, like delivery services or whatever. Like, I am the Stone Age calling up the pharmacy, dialing my prescription.
That's so you.
Like, so me, but I don't like it like that.
You don't want to be that girl anymore?
I want my prescriptions in the future. I like being archaic in some things, but I want futuristic prescriptions. And I got it last night. It was wonderful. Except, oh my gosh, my husband did the craziest thing.
Your husband is low key, classic, always doing like the most insane shit and masking it as like normal things.
This was so crazy.
Oh, and I can't wait.
Okay. So at 8:25, I was talking to Brecha from Hasty Meds last night. And she was like, I'm going to call it into your pharmacy. And the pharmacy closed at 9. And Brecha, being the queen that she is, was like, my client is having a migraine right now. Like, could you rush it and get it filled before you guys close tonight at 9?
Wow.
And so she texted me like, it'll be ready before the pharmacy closes. So it's 8:25. And I
say
to Zach.
Oh my God. Oh, it's a situation where he needs to make haste. Oh, I know what happens. Okay.
No, it's 8:25 and it closes at 9. It's not far. So I was like,
so does he go to see Dune 3 before?
I was like, can you get my prescription from the pharmacy before they close at 9? He was like, yeah. And it was 8:25. And so he didn't have to leave that minute.
No, he did, but okay.
Maybe 10 minutes later, I was like, are you going to go get it. Because I guess technically I could go, but it was I don't like night driving. And, you know, this is a husband's job. I have a migraine.
By the way, you don't even need to explain. Not only did you have a migraine, it was nighttime. You barely know how to drive. And it's just like, this is what I always say to Ben. Like, we bring different things to the relationship. Right. Well, no, and the acts of service, like, that's on you.
So 10 minutes later, I'm like, you're still going to go, right? He was like, yeah. And just finishing this thing. I was like, okay, great. So I'm going to take a shower. It's 8:53. I'm about to turn the shower. And I'm like, I haven't heard him leave the house.
Right.
So I call him. I'm like, you're kidding, right? He was like, do you want me to go now? I was like, what's the alternative?
What was his plan, by the way?
I have no idea. And he was cutting it so close. And I
Yeah, because
knew.
I'm thinking about the drive from your house.
No, it's not. Like, he was kind of out of time. But I'm like, if he doesn't get my prescription, like, because he was just like sitting on his arse.
Oh my God, that's
really
crazy.
He will
really
have hell
crazy.
To pay. So he comes home and he's like hiding outside the door. He's like, I didn't get it. I was like, oh, I know God, you did. I was like, oh. I knew you wouldn't come home without
that
it.
That is so your husband to make a dumb joke.
No, I was like, I know you did. And I know exactly what happened. You got there and they were closing. You were like, please, my wife is going to kill me if I do not
bring
home.
Is that what happened?
Home. Yeah, he was like, yeah, that's exactly what happened. He had to like beg them to keep it open for him.
And thank God you live in Florida, because if my ass ever went over to the pharmacist in New York and was like, wait, I'm 3 minutes late, can I have it? They would seriously spit in my mouth.
But the difference is I think it would be open even later in New York. So
no, actually, pharmacies are like the one thing that's not 24/7
in New York. I was surprised they
were
open that late. But oh my God, I was already planning. Yeah, plotting. And lacing into him what I was going to say if he seriously came home and didn't
without
get
it. Well, I'm so glad you're feeling refreshed. When Jax is down, it ain't right.
No, and the thing is, I'm off my migraine schedule because thankfully I don't get them when I'm pregnant, not in the traditional sense. And so now that I'm like, my body's re-regulating, it's mm-hmm. also regulating back to migraine. So I kind of ignored the signs.
Yeah.
Ignored the signs. Darn, darn, darn.
What was I going to say? Oh, I wanted to talk about the fabulous event I went to last night, but there's a trucker outside, so hold on.
It's Truckers for Fabulous Events I went to last night.
There was a concert put together by one of the country's radio like companies here called Odyssey, and they're so full of toasters. Like, and so funny. Do you remember? I think you were in New York. Remember when I got invited to a concert that was co-headlined by Kelly Clarkson and One Republic?
Yeah, of course.
And then I couldn't go because Theo died.
Is but that I was why? Like,
yes. Literally, it was the week that Theo died.
Oh, was it? I thought it was the week I was there.
I thought you were there, too, and we were all planning on going together.
I thought it was, like, the week of October 7th, and we were just like...
Oh, you know what? You're right. It was the week of October 7th.
Couldn't go to, like...
It felt weird.
The vibe.
Yes, you're 100% right.
Okay.
But doesn't it feel like, you know, if somebody was planning a concert literally just for two people, you and I, they would have done a One Republic, Kelly Clarkson co-headlining...
Yeah, so, I feel like maybe someone was going to propose to us because they
that's
put that,
how specific
like,
it felt.
That sort of event together to get us there.
So it was put on by this company called Odyssey. And then last night they had one in Brooklyn with Elle King, Meghan Trainor, Kelsey Ballerini. And that's what we went to. And I actually met the girl who like puts together the talent. And she was a toaster. Like literally, when we thought the event was put together for us, it quite literally was.
We were inspiring the events that we wished to see in the world.
She literally said this like, amazing woman. She was like, no, I put these together for you guys. I swear.
Oh.
So it was actually a really cute event. It was like women in music. And instead of having it be like back to back, you know, performers, they brought on like groups of performers at the same time. So at first it was Christina Perry and Rachel Platten sitting on the stage together, like going back and forth, like talking and then singing their each other's songs. And like, obviously emo songs. It was really
slay. What's so crazy is about 10 years ago in the city, I went to a concert. It was called like Girls Night Out. It was just like a little put together thing. And it was Rachel Platten and Christina Perry.
So they
maybe
said,
Colby Calais too.
They said 10 years ago they toured together. So that must be what you were talking about.
That's what I'm okay, that checks out.
It was so good. First of all, they both have such good voices. And Rachel Platten, you know, she got really famous like really quickly off of really one song. And it was kind of crazy. And then she didn't quit, but she decided like, I am going to spend the next couple of years building my family and I'm not going to work. And so now she's sort of coming back into the fold. I think this was one of her first live shows. And she is an independent artist. And she has new music. Jackie, I think you would love it. It's like really good.
I know I would love it. Do you want to hear a fun fact about me that I know thanks to Spotify?
Are you one like top 1% of Rachel Platten fans?
No, my number one most listened to song of the decade 2010 to 2020, they gave us this information at the dawn of the new decade. My number one song of that decade was Fight Song.
What were you dealing with at that time?
I was growing up and I was growing into myself and I was going to find my voice and Rachel Platten was going to help me. I feel like, in the words of the Redheads, that feels right.
It does feel right. And then, do you know this about Christina Perry, first of all? Like, just being able to hear Jar of Hearts and A Thousand Years Live, like, I wasn't okay. I did want to hear Arms. No, what's that song called? You put your arms around me
and I'm whole.
Such a good song, but obviously we didn't have time for that. She sang another song and she's talked openly. And I had known this because I think I saw it on Instagram. Because she's really good friends with Kelty from the Lady Gang. And I remember like Kelty sharing it. She has two daughters, but in between her pregnancies, she lost a baby at 35 weeks. And they, like, the baby's name was Rosie. And so she talked very openly about that. And then she sang this song, like, about, like, a rose garden, which is obviously, oh, my God. It was so sweet. I was, like, really getting choked up. It was really, really sweet. But she really got into, I'm surprised you didn't know this. She writes lullabies.
She has an album of lullabies. And what I was going to say is these days, what I know her best for and what I listen to most is her version of You Are My Sunshine.
Okay, so that's part of the album. And so she does lullaby albums for each of her kids.
Oh my God. And so literally what I would do if I had a nice voice.
You Are My Sunshine was on Rosie's album, the baby who had passed. Oh, that's so nice.
You know what else was? A Thousand Years, she has A Thousand Years lullaby version.
So she said, she was like, I know everybody gets married to my songs and that's so sweet. But like when people play my songs for their kids, like that means so much more to me. She was like, honestly, I kind of like loved her.
No, love.
And then they brought out Elle King, Meghan Trainor, and Kelsea Ballerini to each like go around and chit chat and sing. And I had never seen Meghan Trainor perform live before. And I actually met her backstage. When I tell you, like, she was so nice. Like, it was like disarming. I'd seen her walking around and she was just like very gracious to everybody, saying like, hello, thank you. You know, very sort of baseline things. But for a celebrity, we're always like, wow, she says thank you. She was so cool.
I believe it.
She got on stage and she was like, I'm so nervous. Like, I really don't perform live. And it got me thinking about her career. Like, she doesn't perform live. She's really like she releases songs. She's like a hit maker. And she's also like a content creator influencer. And that doesn't really demand like a lot of live performances from her.
No, I'm sure she could go on tour, but maybe she knows thyself. And I feel like this actually tracks because she started as a songwriter and then like she wrote some songs that she kept for herself. But it's like, okay, but I still don't want to be being on stage, maybe not for me. So I'm just going to like do the things that I know and love, like writing songs and singing songs. And I'm not public facing.
Right. But she really held her own on stage.
As a singer.
Literally. She really held her own. Like, she was on there with Kelsea and Elle King, who were both playing instruments and who are really sort of, you know, like live performer. They perform like 50 shows a year.
Yeah.
She totally held her own. Her voice is amazing. She played the ukulele. It was really, really good. Of course, Kelsea was amazing. And you know, like, I would literally lay my life out on the line for Elle King. Like, that's like, if Elle King has no fans, it's because I've literally passed away. Like, I love her.
Rip turdy.
It was really just like a fab night. And then I came home and slept in my new bed.
Love, how was our little sis?
So good to be with little sis, you know?
Yeah.
To sort of spend time soaking up that energy. And we really were just kind of soaking up each other's awesomeness.
It was sisterhood energy. It sounds like a night, like a sister swirly night in general for the girly swirlies.
It was. You know, I don't love leaving the house on weeknights. I'm just in this phase of my life where I'm not even going to have one cocktail on a weeknight. Like, it just doesn't serve me. And I just would appreciate if people started inviting me to things on Friday and Saturday nights. Like, it would mean the world.
Okay, noted. Noted. What I did last night, I did something useful with my time. I watched Quiet on Set.
Oh, wait. Okay. I started it.
It gave me the biggest pit. I just want to say, so I went to my Apple TV. I searched Quiet on Set. It said play episode. I played episode on Max. And it wasn't until I got to the fourth episode that I realized that I hadn't watched the first episode.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I started down to watch it and I'm watching the second episode.
And I'm like, even when I started the beginning of the show, I was like, damn, they got into this really quickly. Okay, cool. So I missed the first episode, which I think has a lot to do with like Dan Schneider, gender disparity in treatment on set. And I went straight into the episode two, which was about the convicted sexual Brian Peck and Jason Handy. And then there was a third guy too. But yeah, so I didn't see episode one, but I watched two, three, and four. And it gave me the biggest pit.
But can you believe that guy got hired by Disney after being in prison?
No, I can't. Did you get to the part where the character letters that were written about him? I was literally going to call you.
James Marsden?
James Marsden.
Courtney Collins? That was a tough loss.
So they put on blast. 40 people wrote character letters for this and child it was molester, rapist.
These people get protected. Like, literally, the production company or whoever got these documents unsealed, but they have been sealed for years.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, they might have also been sealed because Drake was a minor.
Yeah, but he was there as John Doe.
I don't know. I'm
like, I'm sorry, pedophiles don't get protection, and people who stand up for pedophiles don't get it either.
No, I agree. So many things. Oh my God, it's just truly sick to my stomach. And the genesis of watching the show, because it starts out with like bad Dan. And Dan is bad, and Dan is mean, and Dan is discriminatory, and like Dan is disgusting. And then it gets into like Brian Peck and Jason Handy, and it's like so awful, like unmentionable. Jason Handy in the 7-year-old girl's underwear. Like, oh my God, it almost makes Dan's things like look of like Dan's not the worst person on this set.
No, but and now then, it makes sense why Dan felt so comfortable doing an interview.
But then the fourth episode goes back to Dan and goes into Dan in the like victorious Cat and Sam era, where he really is like king at Nickelodeon. And it's clear that he's become more brazen because they start to show the footage of some of the stuff that he posted to like the Victorious webpage and all this stuff that he had Ariana Grande doing. And it was beyond the pale. Like watching it now, it's horrifying.
Yeah.
And I felt like at the end, they alluded to the fact that allegations have been swirling about Dan's conduct for years. I feel like there was even one mention of like allegations of inappropriate sexual conduct. They just like breeze past it because they don't have
like people to speak on record or evidence.
Right. And so that's just kind of where they've left it.
It's like unfortunate. Yeah. I find so interesting because I've literally been on in the last like 24 hours, quiet on set talk.
Okay.
People giving their takes. And on social media, people are really, really angry with Josh Peck. And I find it so bizarre. And actually, Drake, and I feel like Drake and Josh have had like kind of, not like a feud, but they haven't been on great terms in recent years. And Drake Bell made a TikTok basically being like, can everybody lay off Josh? It's almost like for so many years, Drake was sort of the villain in the narrative when it came to Drake and Josh because he had this sort of court case and he was acting sort of strange online. And now that Drake has spoken his truth and everybody sort of sees why his behavior has been so bizarre in the last few years is because he's been through these sort of unimaginable things. It's like now somebody else has to be the villain and they're making it Josh and everybody's mad at Josh.
And it's still not the person who's the actual villain in the story. Like everyone's energy is so misdirected and like misguided and like you're still missing the mark. It's so crazy. I understand why people would be interested in what Josh has to say because when I was watching it, first, before I watched it and it was just quiet on set, I saw people being in the comments like, you're not speaking because of Josh. I was like, oh yeah, I guess Josh is part of Nickelodeon. What does he have to say? And then watching it, it's like, oh right, Drake and Josh. And this show is really like, Drake has the story to tell. So of course your mind goes, well, what does Josh think or what does Josh have to say?
Mm-hmm.
But to not give him like the benefit of the doubt, this is also was a child actor who, again, not the villain of this story.
No, and a child actor who, if you read his book or know anything about his experience, dealt with like in a different way. He has said, you know, nothing nefarious happened to him on set. And by the way, thank God for that. It almost feels like people are like angry that, you know, nothing happened to Josh. Thank God that nothing did. And he speaks a lot about how, you know, his mother's involvement really, he thinks, protected him. But also he battled his own demons, especially with his weight. But then he also went on to have like a really, really bad struggle with addiction. And I've just found the narrative around Josh to be so interesting and bizarre because, yes, Drake is a huge fixture in the documentary, but so is Ariana Grande and like Kenan Thompson. There are other people, and I feel like the internet is just sort of mad at Josh. What did Josh do?
There are
and
you other know what? People who show up in the documentary, like their faces, they're not, we don't talk to them or hear from them, but it's like they are there and they're still
ancillary
in the,
characters.
In the culture, like Kenan, I was thinking of an Ariana
Victoria
Grande.
Justice.
Perfect examples, Miranda Cosgrove.
Yes.
Like if Jeanette and Miranda are like Drake and Josh to me.
Right.
So, you know, there is all this stuff, like, it's just so yeah, weird that.
And it's like, why, after we watch this documentary, why is the first thing people think is to attack other kids who were on that set who probably either went through something similar and don't want to talk about it? Maybe they didn't go through something like that. Why the fuck should we hear from them? Let's talk about the actual people who are coming forward and talking about their stories.
Right. And let's talk about the people who continue to hire these people, like the people yes. who approved this content. I bet so many people are still working in kids' television. Like, it doesn't. Dan Schneider's not, okay, he's not working anymore. Like, thank heavens for that. But there are still other very bad faith actors. And for you to take your anger out on Josh is just so misguided and frankly, dumb. Like, agreed. Seriously dumb. And I was thinking about it when the show was over, like, really not one child actor, like, made it out unscathed. Not one. Everyone, either, they might be okay now, but they've gone through a lot. And it's like, at this point, who would put their child kid. In the entertainment industry?
No. And the thing is a huge, like such a big part of it is money. And a lot of parents, I think, do it almost out of like a last resort sheer desperation. If their kid shows a remote interest and there's a possibility that they could make money and support the family, it's like, it's so unfortunate where I think a lot of people feel like they really have no choice. Now, I definitely think some parents and this, and I keep referencing these two books, Josh and Jeanette, because it really highlights with Jeanette where it was like her mother like shoved her there, you know, kicking and screaming. Her mother had this dream as her, when she was young, to get into the entertainment business and it didn't work out. So she sort of was living vicariously. It was really toxic. So every situation is different. And I agree. Like,
yeah, some who the toxic, hell? You know, bad faith parents might be like, okay, goodbye. But then Drake's story really highlighted his dad. Like, you couldn't be a better parent in the more business. Involved. Not let his kid out of his sight. He could smell Brian Peck from a mile away and he would not let Drake be around him alone ever. He tried to tell people, he was always there like a hawk, and Brian Peck saw that. And so Brian Peck then went to Drake and caused division between the two of them and started like talking badly. But then Brian Peck went to Drake's mom and she knew Drake's parents didn't get along, and she started feeding the mom. He started feeding the mom this, and that was what allowed Drake to be separated from his dad.
So crazy.
Horrible. Seriously.
And then, not to keep comparing, but I do feel like oddly defensive of Josh. Josh grew up in a single parent household. It was just him and his mom. Like, there was no sort of third party that somebody could have gone to. Drake was sort of, he was one of those people who we say like, the parent's involvement is so integral, but he had an involved parent, and they still, you know, found a way to sort of isolate him. It's predatory, it's manipulative, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, it was seriously sickening, truly sickening.
No, and the infrastructure in which a convicted felon who served time for child crimes was able to then work on the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody, or Sweet Life on Deck. Who, I want names.
It's insane.
It's disgraceful.
So, yeah, watched it.
And it's just also so crazy how like current celebrity culture is so filled with kids. Like, so many of the current famous people were also child actors. Like, there are so many different people in like connected to this one documentary, not even just from Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. No, it's tragic is what it is.
Totally like tangential. Is Karen Huger's DWI a story today?
Yes.
That's something I'm personally dealing with today and really struggling with, you know.
I do know.
So we'll get into it.
Yeah, I guess with that.
Yeah, anything else you want to catch up on?
No. No.
Thursday. Oh, I actually like, kind of did want to say something crazy that I made like sort of a big life decision a few days ago that was heavily inspired by a conversation we had here on The Toast.
I think I know.
When we were recapping Oprah's special, we were talking about how the CEO of Weight Watchers who came on was whatever, and how Weight Watchers is really sort of turning a new page and really embracing these medications, yada, yada. And I've really been struggling since I went off Ozempic. I've been talking a lot about like maintaining my weight. I've actually really do want to lose weight. And so I signed up for Weight Watchers 2 days ago. This is not sponsored like at all. I've worked with Weight Watchers in the past and I've actually been on Weight Watchers when I was in college, but I signed up on Tuesday and it's actually going really well.
That's very exciting. What are you eating differently?
So I really like, and I was having this conversation with Emily Halp yesterday. She was at the concert. You know, she's so into like health and fitness. Mm-hmm. She was, and the way she described it is exactly how I feel. Like, it gamifies dieting to the point where like you're now trying to, my goal is to eat as much as I can for the least amount of points. And that just ends up resulting in me making better decisions.
Yeah.
So I literally eat maybe like a pound of fruit a day, but it's 0 points.
Yeah.
And why, actually, Olivia was the one who was like, you know, they recently changed their program. You might really like it. So much of the food that you eat is 0 points. So the things, when I do eat healthy, I eat like 5 things. That's it. And all of them happen to be 0 points.
So what are the things that you're eating that aren't 0 points, that are not?
Oh, that,
yeah,
oh, that
it's
are
like, where are your points coming from?
Well, so of course, you know, I can find a way to get a point anytime. But like, I feel like I'll usually have my points during lunch. I like to eat in the middle of the day. My wraps are pretty, you know, pointful, chunky on the points.
Well, you have to have some points. Like, you
no,
have to
of
live.
Course, of course. But like things I really do like to eat that are so thankfully 0 points. Like I eat a lot of turkey. I eat a lot of grilled chicken. I love my rotisserie chicken. I eat a lot of white meat.
Grilled chicken, 0 points?
Yes, I eat a lot, only white meat. The thing is, like, I eat a lot of turkey and chicken and I only eat the white meat. It's 0 points.
You know what I did last night? And I'm not going to say I wasn't influenced by you.
What?
I had a rotisserie chicken for dinner.
Oh my God, I have one in my fridge. I'm upset. 0 points.
Oh, wow. Because I wasn't feeling well, so I couldn't make dinner. So I sent Zach to the store to get a chicken for the family. And we had a family chicken.
There's literally nothing better than a rotisserie chicken. And then I spoke to Taylor Strecker, and
but
she used to
feel
be
like
on.
Don't you feel like it's not as much meat as it looks like? Don't you feel that way?
Normalize? Like buying two.
Yeah, because if you just are, if you're not eating the legs and you're just eating white meat, it's like maybe enough for two people on a diet.
By the way, it's literally like the top left and the top right quarter.
Yeah, but they're
quadrants.
Not as deep as you think they're going to be because you hit bone.
I'm so glad you said that. I completely
like
agree.
They're kind of tiny. It's like a personal chicken.
I agree.
I'm glad we're on the same page about that.
Especially when there's 0 points and I can really have as much as I want.
Two chickens for Turdy.
So I only signed up for a month. I want to see like if I actually stick with it.
Okay. What but about alcohol? What's alcohol?
Okay. So that's like where tomorrow, I've, you know, plans tomorrow night. That's where I'll see how it goes.
Are there drinks that are 0 points? Like a vodka
I'm
soda?
Sure. And there's really a sense of community. Like I was on this little.
Well, that's what the CEO was saying on the Oprah special.
And by the way, there is because I was playing with the app and there's like a community tab and it's just like posts of people sharing recipes or like asking questions. It was a good question. Somebody was like, do you guys track your 0 point foods or are you just like not even input it? It's like a really good question. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, you know? Then people were sharing recipes and it's actually nice to read people's stuff. And then of course I love the transformation pics. It sounds like an ad. It's literally not.
What about alcohol? She skirted the question because she doesn't want to stop. But I told her.
I know that if I did stop drinking like completely.
For a period of time, yes.
I could like probably get, to complete my health goals.
Yeah.
It's just not something I'm willing to do.
Okay. Well, speaking of health, I saw an interesting factoid today.
Oh my God, okay.
Due to the sun's point in the sky in the equator, some blah, blah, blah. Today we have equal amounts of daylight and darkness, 12 hours of each.
What are you going to do to honor this moment?
Well, I've really been enjoying my daylight. I feel like it's so good for your mental health. Like I know, duh.
That's what Huberman was
saying. But I find myself like staying outside until dusk. Love a golf cart ride to usher in daylight savings. Beep, beep.
Sounds like you are cruising around to Praying for Daylight by Rascal Flatts.
I've been praying for daylight and my prayers have been answered. Mental
That's
health
nice.
Golf cart ride has just been a lovely addition to my daylight savings.
I definitely clown on you for like moving out of the city, but like a dusk golf cart ride, like I get it. Around the community, I get it.
Also, recently, I got you, EasyGo is a partner of mine, so they sent me a golf cart for you when you were here, which was the coolest golf cart ever, because it was like a cart, had two rows of seats and seat belts. It was street legal.
It was street legal, yeah.
But when Turdy left, they did come to collect their golf cart.
When Turdy left, so did all of her
perks.
What's the word? The perks of Turdy, yeah.
The perks of Turdy. So I have my golf cart once again, which I love my current golf cart, and it works for our family. Not as cool as Turdy's golf cart, but it was a special occasion, you know?
No, but I'm like a, I'm a, I'm a dink. You know, I can have a kind of crazy car. You need more of a sort of family safe golf cart.
A family friendly golf cart. So we still have our Easy Go golf cart. And I've really just been having a renaissance with it ever since Daylight Savings, ever since Turdy was here. It's just been really great. I feel like Huberman is onto something. I do.
I love that. And, you know, I love my life. I try not to look at other people's lives with any sort of envious lens. But, you know, just thinking about you and, like, the kids cruising around, like, that definitely gets to me. It does.
Yeah. Yeah, the music. I got my speakers connected.
Yeah, no, that hurts for sure.
Well, you're welcome back anytime. Oh, my God, I had a dream last night that you were here, which isn't a crazy dream, but it was exciting because Tromeo was here.
Okay, so I've actually been thinking, you know, I probably will come see you sometime soon. And I'm going to bring Tromeo.
Of course.
You have a crate for Tromeo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. Of course, of course. But I'm going to see you first. I'm going to come soon because we have our big party.
Yes, the Toastiversary party is in full planning mode. So exciting.
But we haven't started the documentary yet.
No, and I really need to find an outfit. Like, I'll be, like, kind of me having too. A pit about this party until I know what I'm going to wear.
No, me too. No, bro.
Me too. Me too. Should we dive in?
Yeah,
we don't have any special segments or anything today.
We were about to when we got sidetracked. So now...
That was 8 minutes ago.
Wow.
Oh, I'm also excited because we have a new sponsor today and they have such an iconic slogan. I need to say it.
Sickening. Without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five stories that you need to know are brought to you by Booking.com. Booking.yeah. Booking.com offers so many possibilities across the U.S. for all the travelers that you want to be. From relaxing beach resorts to remote mountain cabins, the multitude of choices around the U.S. on Booking.com allow you to book whoever you want to be. And my current era for my next vacation that I'm booking on Booking.com is summertime vibes. You know, we're hopefully going to take a trip this summer. And Booking.com, Booking.yeah has been there for us in a way that, you know, Ben could never be. I don't know about you. We are totally different versions of ourselves when we take a trip. And it depends on where we go when we're traveling. You know, when we're in the mountains, I'm sort of like just this like tea drinking, cozy, what's that? Hygie energy. But I don't know. I might need to take a trip to Vegas and then I'm a different turdy. This spring, check out Booking.com for all the ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the U.S. We love to take a trip in a house. I think that for me, it's an elite way of traveling, especially when we're with the family and we're a lot of people. So Booking.com is a great resource for that. Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com, Booking.yeah. So whether you're looking to plan a really fun girls trip, you know, maybe New Orleans, that's fun. Or you're going more for a zen mode on a beach vacation, do that in California. You want to embrace your sporty side with skiing with the family in Vail. Whoever you want to be, Booking.com has got you covered. So book whoever you want to be on Booking.com, Booking.yeah. Today's episode is also brought to you by Astapro, a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. So Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. If you suffer from allergies, you know how insane and valuable that is. 30 minutes. Now, I personally don't suffer from allergies, but I live with someone who does. And this time of year.
So you do suffer.
It can be really sort of trying on a marriage. It really can. So having Astapro, which works in 30 minutes, it's saving marriages, you guys. And honestly, mental health. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. So get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go. Do that today at Astaproallergy.com. Astapro is spelled Astepro allergy.com and you can get a discount so you just be able to Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. It's faster, bro. Astapro and go.
Faster pro meant to rhyme with Astapro?
Yeah, they've got their rhyming on point.
Damn. Our first story... crazy news. Christine Quinn's husband has been arrested for domestic violence, led out of his home handcuffed and barefoot in a bathrobe. So yesterday, Christine Quinn from Selling Sunset, her husband was arrested for domestic violence. Page Six could exclusively reveal. The LAPD told Page Six that officers responded to a call at around 2 p.m. local time in the Hollywood Hills area of L.A. relating to a domestic dispute. The public information officer said, quote, the suspect threw a bag containing a glass bottle at the victim, Christine. He missed the victim but hit the victim's child, causing injury. The child was seen by paramedics but not transported to the hospital. However, a separate source told Page Six that the child was transported to the emergency room via an ambulance from the scene later on Tuesday. Then Christian, the husband, the child's name is also Christian. He was released from his arrest yesterday and went back home. And then police were called again to the house last night, though it is not... We're not sure why.
Oh, my God. We were literally just talking about her marriage. Remember we said Erica Jane should find someone like him? Never mind. Control Z. Undo.
Oh, I forgot we said that. Undo.
Right. That's well, actually, I said it, if I'm going to be honest. Because up until that point, like, I thought they had a nice marriage. But you truly never fucking know what's going on in someone's house. What a nut. And honestly, he looked so gross. Like, when he came out of those pictures, which are just such so crazy to have gotten that like, moment captured. He just looks gross. Like, hate you.
No, so crazy to be arrested from your home barefoot in a robe.
Yep.
Goodbye.
It's so, by the way, I also just found the description confusing. A bag with glass in it?
A bag containing a glass bottle.
What kind of bag?
Maybe like a Ziploc bag. Like, I don't know. Maybe there was a bottle in a bag? Ziploc? I was thinking Ziploc.
I was thinking purse.
I don't know.
Whatever. So scary for Christine.
So scary for her child.
Yeah.
Like.
Ugh, it's always the unassuming freak losers. Like, remember we were talking about Kiki Palmer. Like, we never heard of you. You're ugly loser. And you have the absolute gall to be violent. With a woman like Kiki, a woman like Christine.
Any woman. Stop.
Of course. But it's always the losers. It's always the losers.
Yeah. So this was just disturbing. And I hope she gets the fuck away from him as fast as she can.
I know. Now it's like, now starts the process of like really untangling this person from your life. But when you're married and I think they have a business together. Yeah. And they have a baby together. They live in the same house. It's extremely complicated. It's extremely, like, legal. And it takes a long time. And that fucking sucks.
Yeah. Seriously.
Hate.
So, just wishing her well.
Mm-hmm.
Our next story, some more legal news. Real Housewives of Potomac star Karen Huger charged with a DUI after totaling a Maserati in a high-speed chase crash.
Okay, this is really, really hard for me. And I'm going to say this unironically, okay? I'm currently holding space for two truths, okay? Karen Huger is a queen. Drinking and driving is the most abhorrent, disgraceful, disgusting thing you could do. And I don't know how to exist in both of those truths.
Yeah. Because I'm struggling.
You know me, like,
for Turdy, a DUI ruins a person for Turdy, like, the second that they have one.
I'm done.
And it will take years to undo if she ever decides. And then she gets kind of willy-nilly with who she decides to forgive, because she will forget Reese Witherspoon, but she won't forgive Sam Hunt.
Okay, I want to say, I'm glad you brought that up. I personally, like, I'm not over Sam Hunt's. But I don't think about it as much as I used to, but I still think it's disgraceful. And I'm not over it, actually.
I feel like I can't even put on a Sam Hunt song.
You can't.
I was trying to listen in my backyard on my Sonos Move 2, and you, like, laced into me.
You were brutally rebuffed.
I was. However, if I put on Legally Blonde, she'd say, turn it up.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, what is your impact on my life? And Reese Witherspoon has really, and her work, specifically through the Legally Blonde franchise, has made me the woman I am today. Now, when we talk about Reese Witherspoon's DUI, now we could talk about the disgracefulness of it, or we could talk about the video of her being arrested and her saying she's America's sweetheart. Like, to me, that's more interesting. And not a lot, and she's done an amazing job of, like, moving past that. Nobody thinks Reese Witherspoon and thinks of that video. I do, but nobody does. And feel free to go watch it. It's literally insane. She has a full bone breakdown. She's like, you have no idea who you're talking to. I'm America's sweetheart. And her arms are literally behind her back. It's so fucking iconic. Like, honestly, I kind of love it. It kind of undoes some of the DUI for me. I'm not going to lie.
It's giving deflection. Now,
Now, with Karen Huger, I struggle because it's really, I think drinking and driving is one of, like I just find it disgraceful. But Karen Huger has also done so much for me and really shaped me to be the woman I am today. And she is the grand dame. And I don't know. I don't know. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, well, let's see where she goes from here. So she was charged with driving under the influence following her high-speed car crash late Tuesday night. She's also faced with a driving while impaired by alcohol charge. Both will require court appearances. Furthermore, she has been slapped with 6 traffic violations related to negligent and reckless driving, speeding, driving with a suspended registration, and failure to notify the Maryland Motor Vehicle Administration of her change of address. The fines associated...
Oh, they're hitting her with everything now that she's like in police custody.
Yeah, the fines associated range from $50 to $510 and will require court appearances.
So let me say this. You know, this isn't our first housewife DUI. Most recently, I think we all remember Shannon Bedore. And when I read that headline, like, I was devastated. Was I shocked? No. I feel like Karen Huger literally, like, never even drinks.
Yeah. Well, I do feel like when there is a DUI, more often than not, like, it speaks to a larger issue of, you know, drinking to a point where you can't distinguish between whether or not you should drive, or so much drinking that you're just, you got to drive.
You're used to it and you don't even know.
Right. Like, but I do think that, like, when people tackle then the root issues of whatever led to their DUI, their healing can be accomplished. Forgiveness can be found. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done after a DUI.
Also, after a DUI where you don't hurt anybody, like, thank God. Some people, you know, that's not the case for.
No.
Now, Karen Huger, it doesn't say that she, you know, injured or even, you could have killed somebody.
Of course.
So it's easier to go to that healing stage because you're not dealing with that burden. But some people literally injure or kill other people because they drove drunk.
For sure. But then they go to jail.
And that's a part. Not all the time, by the way.
Oh, well, when I took my class for my permit in Florida. God.
I feel like...
Is this one of my stories? Claudia, that's how much it stuck with me.
No. Who gets that more than me? And by the way, I just think it's worth mentioning, we can't talk about DUIs without me talking about Sam Hunt and you talking about this video you watched.
It was part of my course. It was like a 5-hour course to get my permit, and they had a really strong section on drinking and driving.
And it changed you.
And of course, it changes so many people's lives, especially if someone gets hurt. But for the driver themselves, your life is ruined.
No, for sure. And I understand why that video had such an impact on you. It kind of reminds me of the time I got into an Uber and the driver, you know, one time drove Kenan Thompson.
Yeah. It's very similar.
Extremely.
So we'll be keeping tabs on Miss Karen Huger. And hopefully she will start to move forward in a positive way.
But it's so crazy because I've been seeing, she's been so active on social media. She took a trip with her daughter. Her daughter is kind of like this up and coming, like, fashionista.
I love that.
They went to Fashion Week together. She's gorgeous. Like, she's been doing like a lot of content. Obviously her mom's been like helping her, you know, with her platform. And I just so didn't see this, like, out of left field. She's really a staple in her community. Like, this is not what a community leader does. This is not how the grand dame acts.
No, it's incongruous with the Karen that we know.
I'm telling you, it was a body double. Like, that's how much I don't believe it.
Well, we have to hear from her.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Aaron Taylor Johnson watched The Toast this week and says that he married his much older wife, Sam, because he grew up too quickly. So Aaron Taylor Johnson watched Claudia's rampage against him on The Toast this week and defended his 23-year age gap with his wife, Sam, whom he wed when he was 22. He told the Rolling Stone UK in an interview published Wednesday, quote, "What you got to realize is that's what most people were doing in their 20s, I was doing when I was 13. You're doing something too quickly for someone else? I don't understand that. What speed are you supposed to enjoy life at? It's bizarre to me." He met his now wife on the set of her 2009 film, Nowhere Boy. They tied the knot 3 years later. They are parents to 2 children, and he is a stepdad to her children as well.
Okay, so we spoke at length about Aaron Taylor Johnson. He's, you know, rumored to be the next Bond. He's allegedly signing his contract this week, and I was pretty hard on him. But, you know, some information fell on my desk this morning that does change things for me, because I didn't know. Aaron Taylor Johnson is Jewish. Therefore, he can do no wrong. So, Godspeed, my friend. Love is love.
Well, that's not always true. Look at Jonathan Glazer.
No, by the way, 1,000%. But it definitely, you know, makes me think differently. I'm not going to lie. I'm an extremely biased person. Like, It's just facts.
But when he says that he grew up really quickly, you know, he matured really quickly. So what you said about him being like an immature man might not hold.
Okay. The thing is, like, if we're being real with one another, like, this changes nothing for me. Like, it's fucking weird. Okay. But I'm not going to be out here tearing down a Jewish king. So it's tough times for my people. Like, I can't be like so principled on everything. My God, you know?
Yeah.
Let me live.
Okay. So, I mean, you could be thinking this marriage is weird while also supporting him as an actor and in this role of Bond.
Yeah, no, that's how I feel. I like that. I'm holding space for both truths.
Because you weren't like here for him as Bond, but I feel like having a Jewish Bond is something worth being here for.
It's statistically impossible, like, that any Jewish person could do the things Bond does. But yes, I love the fantastical delusions. Also, I know we've, like, been, you know, making a lot of fun of holding space for two truths, but I've been, like, using it a lot, and it kind of works.
No, that's why people use it, because it's a loophole, you know?
I like
it. And they don't have to make hard choices, just like you and Karen Huger. Because all of a sudden, two things can be true, and I don't have to choose. By the way, that's it.
You don't have to make hard decisions.
No, literally. Yeah, of course, two things can be true.
I like it.
Yeah, three things can be true.
Oh, I don't know about that.
But you have to make a choice. People don't want to make choices, Turdy.
No, they don't. I don't. Actually, that's so funny. I was thinking that the other day, you know, a huge part of growing up is making decisions for yourselves. And of course, learning through trial and tribulation, like, and the older you get, that's why they say, like, the older, the wiser, you've lived more, you know, the more difference of right and wrong. And you're really, by the time you're a certain age, like, you know, the right decisions to make. And I feel like I will never get to that place. Like, for real, I feel like I've grown so much in so many ways over the last years. Over the last couple of years. But one thing I'm not getting better at is decision making. And I literally can't make a decision for my fucking life. Either I will beat it so dead, like asking you guys, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And then, like, you guys will make the decision for me, or I'll seriously just, like, forget.
Yeah. I feel like when it comes to small things, it's harder to make decisions for you. Like, oh, what color couch should I get? Does this rug look
right?
Good? But when it comes to, like, big life stuff, I feel like you're in
the right direction. No, it's not one of my strengths. I feel like it's probably your biggest strength. Like, you always make the right choice.
That's not necessarily the case, but I think half the battle.
And honestly, I blame you.
Half the battle of making the right choice is sticking by your choice.
I blame you also. I don't feel like I really need to learn how to make good decisions, because I literally just ask you and you give me the answer. You never say, Turdy, figure it out. You know, you just tell me what to do, and it's enormously helpful.
Okay, maybe next time I'll be like, I'll still tell you what I recommend, but I'll be like, what would you choose? Like, it would be more of a test. Like, what would you choose?
Please.
And, like, let's see if that's in line with what I would choose.
No, okay. Make it a test, but don't let me make the wrong decision.
Oh, of course.
Do you know what I mean?
Not. I'll just be like, okay, what were you thinking? Like, if you didn't have me to ask, what would you have done? And then I'll tell you what I'll do.
Okay. Thank you.
So we'll start to like test. Yeah, maybe you've been leaning.
We need to hone my decision-making skills. That's maybe like a goal for the next year.
I feel that way about myself sometimes, that like I don't have, well, I think that's a normal thing to think. Like, I don't have all the answers, and it worries me, you know, what if I do make a wrong choice? But that's life.
That's part of life.
That is life. You're not supposed to have all the answers. You're not. We're learning as we grow. Otherwise, like, what's the point? But yeah, sometimes I'm like, damn, I would have fucked that up.
Damn, dumb bitch alert.
Dumb bitch alert. It's never too late to be a dumb bitch.
No, it's not.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Tracy Morgan says he gained 40 pounds on Ozempic after learning to out-eat the weight loss drug.
I fucking love. There are a few people. You know what? I think I'm going to add Tracy Morgan to my list of Dream Toast interview guests.
Oh, that'd be great.
He's really stellar.
On Tuesday, he stopped by The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, and he discussed his dating life, the Knicks, and his relation to Nas. Then they also started talking about Ozempic. Jimmy said, "You look good, bud. You look great. How are you staying in shape these days?" He said, "Well, that's Ozempic," referring to the diabetes drug, which has skyrocketed in popularity. After a brief reaction from Jimmy, he also shared his experience with the medication. He said, "I've learned to out-eat Ozempic. I out-ate Ozempic. I've gained 40 pounds," he jokingly said. And Jimmy said, "I've never heard of anyone gaining 40.
Okay, so not to be like, you know, Ozempic soapbox, but when he went on Hoda and Jenna and was talking about how he's on Ozempic and everyone was laughing, and he basically said, like, I still eat Doritos, I just eat less. Like, not to be like such a Karen, but that's really not how you're supposed to use Ozempic. Like, you're not supposed to, you know, keep making bad choices, but just smaller ones. Like, you're supposed to use it to sort of turn your life around. So the fact that he ended up gaining 40 pounds is really not shocking, not to be like so annoying. Now, I feel like a lot of people don't get this about the drug. And I was just having this conversation with somebody who really like knows nothing about it. And they were like citing different people. Well, how come it didn't work for this person? And you really can, like, if your brain overpowers your stomach, it's not a fix. You still have to. That's why when people say it's like such a cheat sheet, it's really not. Like, you can be on the drug and literally gain weight. It there still requires less, but some mental fortitude, yes, and willpower.
Yes.
It's just easier for you to have that. This, for someone who's never had willpower, it literally gives you the ability to have some.
Yeah, some.
But not 100%.
Yeah.
But I just love Tracy Morgan. Like, there really are fewer people who are just so genuinely funny. And I really love him.
Yeah, same.
And then, of course, when he became, you know, a brother in Ozempic, that was just kind of like sealed our fate.
But what about now that he's kind of an Ozempic nemesis?
I know. He's not an Ozempic nemesis. The thing is, like, he's being funny and he's sharing what actually happened to him. But people are going to use this. Oh, well, Tracy Morgan gained 40 pounds. Like, shut up.
Who are Ozempic nemeses?
Jackie Goldschneider.
Or as Margaret says in the trailer for Real Housewives of New Jersey, Jackie Judas Goldschneider.
Oh, okay. Wait, let me think. Who are Ozempic?
Because she doesn't think that Ozempic is made out of top quality fabric.
She doesn't.
And it shows.
Now, wait, I like your question. Now, I actually think this person learned their lesson.
Okay.
Andy was for a while really not a friend to the Ozempic community. He was just kind of being like a witch hunt. And there were a lot of people, like influencers, podcasters, who were just like making like all this content to like, speculate and like point fingers at who they thought was on Ozempic. And it's like, why don't you just leave everybody the fuck alone?
Yeah. Okay, but he learned his lesson how?
I feel like he actually got a lot of shit after, like, there were a couple of months where he just, every time a housewife was on, he was like, are you on Ozempic? And if there was a lot of rumors about them, like, it put them in an uncomfortable position. And if they were then like kind of forced to lie because they didn't agree to, you know, be asked about their medical situations. Mm-hmm. And so either they had to be honest about something that they weren't planning on sharing, or they had to lie. And like, I just feel like that. And I think he got a lot of backlash for it. And he ended up speaking on his radio, like being like, oh, I've gotten a lot of shit for it. And I actually get it. So I don't think he's at MSCs any longer.
Okay. Who else?
Who else? You know, who's not an MSCs, who's like a big sort of champion. And this is why Ben loves this person. Terry Dupreau. And Terry's a doctor, so people really listen to him. He's also like a very kind of high profile, very successful doctor. Mm-hmm. Who else? I don't know. I feel like there's more. Sound off in the comments. Who do you think is a nemesis of the Ozempic community?
Love that. Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Oh my God, no.
She's not ready. She better get
ready. Is it brought to you by Skims?
Yeah.
We normally find bras to just be uncomfortable, constricting, and not it. It's the first thing we take off when we get home, but Skims has truly changed that. We love their underwear. We love all of their products. So their bras are truly no different. They have truly delivered. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and the support that they give. What we weren't expecting was how comfortable they are. Even the underwire bras that you wear all day, you'll barely notice. I call them the relaxation bras. I believe in like layman's terms, they're called bralettes. It's the racer back bralette. Oh my God, I love these bras. The second I get home, I can't walk around without a bra. Like, I need two bras. I need outdoor bras and indoor bras. And both outdoor and indoor bras from Skims are amazing, but I really, really love the indoor bras. Ben calls them my relaxation bras. They have adjustable straps, so they still provide a lot of support. The material, it almost feels, because my boobs are like so big, like it feels like a bungee. Does that feel right?
That's a great way to describe it.
So they are creating the next generation of underwear and bras for everybody. Their sizing is really inclusive. They come in a million different colors, different styles, whether you're looking for racer back, adjustable straps, whatever it is. Head over to Skims. They're made with the innovative technology to give you the best shape and support. They're in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. They have over 100,000 five-star reviews for a reason. They are available at skims.com. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place an order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. Today's episode is also brought to you by Legacy Box. Spring cleaning is upon us, but there is one meaningful box that you don't throw away when cleaning out your closet. Everybody has one. The box that's filled with your family videotapes, photos, old stuff that you can't really watch or enjoy, but you know you shouldn't get rid of it. Now, with Legacy Box's clean spring cleaning sale, you can check digitizing your memories off your to-do list and protect them forever for only $9 a tape. We did it. It's one of the best things we ever did. We grew up in the VHS era. We had all these old tapes. We had no idea what to do with them, but they just sort of sat there in the cellar of like the basement, and the elements can actually really destroy, whether it's like floods or humidity. If you have tapes, camcorder reels, leaving them around is actually kind of dangerous. So take the step, do it. It's like one of those things you always say you're going to do, just do it. Legacy Box is the company that's digitizing all your old whole memories. It's affordable. They've thought of everything. You load the Legacy Box with your old tapes, films, pictures, send it back. You'll get it back on a thumb drive or the cloud. It'll be ready to watch and easy to share. It's so simple. It's like magic. We obviously are young, so we had VHS tapes, but whatever you have, they can do it. Check protecting your memories off your spring cleaning to-do list with Legacy Box. Visit legacybox.com/toast to shop their $9 tape sale. That's legacybox.com/TOAST to unlock this incredible offer. You will not regret it, and your family will just seriously die.
Thanks, Claude.
You're welcome.
Our next story, our final story before we bid you farewell, is actually pretty funny because...
Farewell.
Farewell. Travis Kelce has been watching Love is Blind. And
therefore, Taylor has been watching Love is Blind.
Right. So he went on New Heights to talk about Love is Blind. He's trying to get Jason to watch. Meanwhile, Chelsea Blackwell is begging Taylor Swift to stop watching the show after Travis has impersonated her. So... they posted a clip to their New Heights Instagram. Travis is watching, trying to get Jason to watch. Jason won't watch that trash. They're literally me and you.
Yeah, 1,000%.
And Travis starts talking about, he's like, you gotta see it, like this girl. And he was like, you think I'm clingy? Like he was imitating her.
Impersonating her.
And so she posted an Instagram, Chelsea, saying, I just got the most mortifying news. I feel like I need to crawl under a rock at this point because Travis Kelce did an impersonation of me. Then she said, Taylor Swift, if you're watching with him, please stop.
No, I'm telling you, like Chelsea is a queen. I'm sorry. Like the way she handles everything is Queenie-like behavior. Like, this is a funny, relatable, honest, sort of self-deprecating response. And everything that has been thrown at this girl, I'm sorry, she handles well. Like, this is a great response. He's actually, like, you could, like, one person could say, like, he's being a little mean, like, the way he impersonates her and says that she's awful. But she takes it just in stride. I'm sorry, Chelsea's a queen. Now, of course, the first thing I thought when I saw this was, oh, my God, well, Taylor has been off work for a month. Like, she definitely... saw Love is Blind. How else would she fill her time? She can't just like walk around and go to the grocery store. She's literally inside all
Unless
day.
Unless it's how Travis is filling his time when he's not with her.
I'm sorry. The only reason a man like Travis Kelce watches Love is Blind is because his wife, girlfriend, whatever, was watching it and he weirdly got into it. That's always how it happens.
Yeah.
Ben has never been like, turn on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but he loves it.
Yeah. No, that's my husband, Love is Blind's number one fan because I showed it to him.
You were watching it. Yeah. And you know what? Like a couple of years ago, I forget, I was like recapping Love is Blind on my story. And every time I would post something, like every time they dropped a new episode, Gwyneth Paltrow was responding, like chit-chatting about it. I was like, I cannot believe this woman watches Love is Blind. But that's really like the power of Netflix. Like certain shows and certain streaming platforms are so ubiquitous. Like everyone watches it, even Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Do you think this is the biggest season of Love is Blind ever?
No, the first.
No, this one just became so huge. And it's crazy because it's all because of Chelsea.
I know. Cut her a check.
Yeah.
I saw her doing a TikTok sponsor today for Tresemme. I'm like, go off, queen. Her content could use a little bit of work, but you know what? It's a start.
Yeah. That is so funny. I can't believe they're watching it and talking about it.
No, it's crazy. But it's really like not that crazy.
No, it's not. It's what everyone's watching. It's what's on TV right now.
And I'm sure like what Taylor can watch is limited in the sense that I'm sure there's like people in Hollywood, actors that she hates.
She's not watching American Horror Story.
Right. And then there's also people she's like friends with. And that makes it also weird like to like you can't watch that. That's my friend, you know?
But I feel like she's the type that supports her friends and watches.
Yes, but not in the sense that, like, she could just relax and binge. I feel like reality is, like, probably a really safe space for her. Mm-hmm. But then it's the other thing. It's, like, every person who becomes famous, when they, like, uncover their old tweets, there's always a tweet in there about Taylor Swift. She's kind of just, like, a part of, like, cancellations. Like, everybody, that's when she became friends with Brittany Mahomes. They found tweets.
Yeah.
Everybody has
they worked past that.
Me too. I think Taylor, seriously, she can't limit her friendships to people who have never said anything bad about her, because there was a time where, like, in the culture, it was cool and acceptable and encouraged to just say something mean about her.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, you're, like, cool and not like other girls if you say that, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's another element of things she can't watch.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of American Horror Story, they released the trailer for, like, part two of Kim's whatever, and she has a makeout scene with Emma Roberts.
I know, that was almost going to be the fifth story, but I thought that this one was funnier.
It is.
But I'm on this Chelsea story, and then I realized Megan Fox was just on Call Her Daddy. And did she ask her about Love is Blind?
Oh, I didn't watch it.
No, me neither. I'm going to Google right now.
It would have been made a story.
Like, how do you have, she had to have, that's like.
Unless it was pre-recorded, like, because it's sort of evergreen content.
For sure.
If not, that's a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Unless Megan Fox, like, doesn't want to be asked about it, you know?
Yeah, but, like,
I can't imagine why she wouldn't want to get in on this. She's a celebrity. Right. Her job is to be relevant. Like, why she wouldn't want to get in on this relevant moment. And it's not like it's, you know, controversial or anything, but she might not want to be, because she hasn't said anything.
Right.
And so she might have said, like, please don't ask me about this. And Alex was like, okay. Because I can't imagine why you wouldn't.
Right. Because, like, literally, we talk about Megan Fox all the time, but never really as much as we are right now. Like, Love is Blind is the biggest show. And it's not like she does podcasts all the time. So she literally did a podcast this week. Like, I wonder if they spoke about it, but I don't see any headlines about it. But the headlines always just regurgitate themselves, so it doesn't mean that they didn't.
I feel like they didn't, because I feel like I would have seen the clip just come across my desk as a consumer.
Right, like the moment we've all been waiting for.
And I have to imagine, seriously, like, if she wasn't asked about it, it's because she was told not to ask about it.
Mm.
Like, I'm sorry, I have to imagine, because other than that, like, there's no logical explanation.
Right, okay. Well, if they did, please let us know. Oh,
what was that, the iPad?
No, that was my computer charger. My iPad knocking over my computer charger and taking out a light.
A necessary light?
No, it'll be okay. The show's ending.
Are you sure?
The show's ending.
Yeah, well, let's wrap it up.
Okay, now that my light is
gone. It's so sort of appropriate that you've been left in the darkness after sort of praising how daylight has become, like, such an important part of your everyday routine.
It has been such an important part. But there's equal parts of daylight and darkness. And this is symbolic of that.
And I think it's truly metaphorical for life.
Isn't that the truth, La?
Thank you so much for listening to the Toast the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iRadio, CastBox, all the places wherever you listen to podcasts. Find us at Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are.
Love ya.
Love ya.
Bye.
Bye.